This is George Newbern, the voice of Superman.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman.
And you're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam.
Streaming at DCAUReview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
When the world is under attack,
the clock is ticking,
and one hero isn't enough,
lives are at stake,
mankind's only hope is the Justice League. Join Batman.
Miss me.
Superman.
We need to join forces on this.
Wonder Woman.
All buckled in.
And their League of Superheroes.
On the job, Batman.
A brand new show, Justice League Action.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 266 of the DCAU Review. I am one of your hosts, Cal, and with me, as he always is, my good friend, good brother, the man that runs our Twitter account, it's Liam. Liam, we are in the last week of this month of June. Well, at least we are on the original recording date of this episode. But that means that we have decided, along with our dwindling amount of Superman content that we've referenced ad nauseum this month, we decided to take a trip around the multiverse. The multiverse, of course, is in on people's thoughts and minds pretty much in any movie franchise, but especially the DC movie franchise with the release of the Flash movie last week. But we are deciding to take a trip to a never before visited multiversal planet universe one that I'm excited to talk about with you today.
That's right. Kind of a little bit of, I don't know if you can say hidden gem when it's a show that aired on a major cable network in the US for 2 years, but yeah, it feels that way sometimes, I think. A little bit of a recent forgotten memory here. But yes, we are talking for the first time about Justice League Action. Lots of DCAU connections to this show that we'll get to in a moment here. But yes, we're talking about two episodes, since they are the shorter sort of 12-minute episodes, a la a lot of the modern Cartoon Network fare. We have two episodes to talk about today. First one being Follow That Space Cab, and the second one being Galaxy Jest.
Absolutely. And that, of course, means that you get to share not one, but two official IMDb synopses for this week's episodes, which of course are brought to you by the Pod Tower. Now, both of these episodes, as you mentioned, originally aired here in the States on the Cartoon Network. The first one, which is, you mentioned, Follow That Space Cab, originally debuted on January the 21st, 2017. And then Galaxy Jest appeared on February the 11th, 2017, meaning we're about 6 years out from these episodes originally debuting. And of course, before we get to our IMDb synopsis, they are brought to you by the Pod Tower. That's right. If you are a fan of all things DC animation, if you love podcasts, or hey, you love both of those things, then I have a recommendation for you. Head over to youtube.com/thePodTower today and check out a myriad of different podcasts available for you, including the Watchtower Database's Jump on the Batwagon podcast, the entire Tim Talk catalog, which covers the entire DC animated universe from Batman the Animated Series all the way up through Justice League Unlimited, and wouldn't you know it, our entire catalog as well, all delivered right on YouTube for your easy listening experience. That's youtube.com/thePodTower. Head over and subscribe today.
That's right. So this is the synopsis for the episode Follow That Space Cab, which is written by Paul Dini, directed by Jake Castorena, with music by Kevin Reipel, and animation by Soonmin Image Pictures. And that synopsis leads as such. Superman and Hawkman receive the help of an honorable space cab driver as they try to protect Mr. Mind from being captured by Lobo.
The honorable space cab driver. Not sure why you use that adjective to describe him, but
there's a lot of space cabbies out there, and not all of them adhere to a strict code of honor, but
you have to be specific. The honorable space cab,
right? Maybe he's a judge as well, and like maybe space cabbing is his side hustle here, and we're
that's right. So. The honorable judge space cab. he's got like one of those syndicated television shows where he has like the different villains come on and argue over petty like small courts claims.
That's right. Like the Dominers and the Gordanians get into like a zoning issue, and he's got to preside over that.
I love that. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into our synopsis of this first episode, Follow That Space Cab. And we kick things off where, you know what? The name of this show, okay, Justice League Action, just briefly here, we tried to do some research about the show itself and came back not necessarily confirming anything, but I think you and I can both hypothesize based on when this show started in development in 2016. I think early 2016 it was announced, eventually debuting in January or late December of 2016, January 2017. This was likely to hopefully capitalize on buzz that would have come from the Justice League live action movie, which of course there was buzz, all right, but maybe not the type of buzz that that they were hoping for. So, the corporate synergy was definitely pushing this out there. And there's a lot of familiar names involved with this. We'll talk a little about in a little bit, Liam. Of course, you already mentioned Paul Dini responsible for writing this episode, but Butch Lukic, Alan Burnett, a myriad of others that that were responsible and involved with DC Animation as a whole and the DCAU. Lots of connections here, and so these, as you mentioned, very short and to the point episodes. They are on average like 11 to 12 minutes each, and I think the title itself, Justice League Action, lends to the fact that you get pretty much wall-to-wall action in the 11 minutes. There's not a lot. You get the story kind of along with the action. You're kind of dropped in there. There's very little exposition that kind of explains who these characters are or where they're coming from. You learn who Space Cabby is very quickly. It's like you're dropped into his cab. Literally, Superman drops into his cab after a fight in the middle of space happening between Superman and Jonas Glimm and Lobo.
Well, this day was a wash. 10-hour shift, all for one fare between Tamaran and Korugar. Think I'll drop by Al's diner, flirt with Darlene, and call it a... Huh? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's... Superman? Hey, you're Superman. Wow, Superman in my space cab.
Drive.
Yes, sir. Where to?
Away from them.
Can't believe you took Superman out with one zap, Lobo.
Yeah, Jonas, I always pack a red sun-powered blaster just for old Blue Boy.
In addition to everything else, you've got Lobo after you?
I kind of took out a loan from Boss Cat the Gangster to finance my last conquest.
They're all having this fight, and they are all attempting to either hunt or protect Mr. Mind, the infamous Mr. Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so Superman is dropped into the middle of this space cab. Space Cabby sort of acts as this the escape run for Superman in the midst of this battle that Superman and Lobo are having. And then it's kind of like the chase is on at that point. Lobo is trying to catch up with the space cab. There's some you know, fisticuffs that happen there. Superman is trying to get help from some of the other Justice Leaguers. He's able to call in some help, get help from Hawkman, who shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkman and Lobo begin to have their own fight, and then meanwhile we get sort of Superman trying to recover. And that's that we were introduced to all this very quickly. And there's lots of punching and kicking and throwing and smashing. And there's some dialogue mixed in there in between.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, yeah, the plot synopses for these is going to be like lightning fast. You can only say, and then they punch for a bit, and then this guy punches this guy, and then this guy punches this guy, and then this. No, basically, yes, as you said, there's a lot of fisticuffs between Lobo and Hawkman, and then Lobo and Superman, after Superman kind of recovers after being hit with like a red sun ray from Lobo. And meanwhile, yes, they're trying to protect Mr. Mind. Mr. Mind's little container gets busted open. And that's probably, it's so funny. We mentioned this episode is written by Paul Dini, who, as we've talked about ad nauseum on the show, has such a, you know, delightful and kind of quirky sense of humor to himself. And if you just, I feel like if you said Paul Dini, Mr. Mind, Space Cabbie, you're like, this is going to be really wacky. But the only really it's like we get like about 3 minutes towards the end of the episode where Superman kind of recovers and goes out to help Hawkman fight Lobo, and as they're battling, Mr. Mind gets free and starts like climbing through like the center console of the space cab, and so the space cabbie has to sort of have a battle of wits with Mr. Mind. And Mr. Mind is seemingly out of reach and is about to outsmart him. But the space cabbie kind of plays to Mr. Mind's ego, mentioning that he's this world-renowned super criminal that almost destroyed the Justice League single-handedly. And he asks him for a selfie and uses his camera with the flash on to blind Mr. Mind, which allows them to kind of recapture him.
For the magnificent Mr. Mind.
Mr. Mind? The Mr. Mind?
Is there another?
The Mr. Mind who fought the Justice League to a standstill?
The same.
Mr. Mind, the ruthless, evil, intergalactic villain?
I prefer visionary iconoclast, but all right.
Mr. Mind, sir, I've had a lot of celebrities in my cap, but never anyone of your stature.
I'd think not.
It would mean the galaxy to me if I could just get a picture of us together. It's for my collection here.
No.
Please?
Go very well, but don't touch me! Ah! My eyes!
Gotcha!
Treachery!
Bursting out of the space cab right as Lobo, Superman, and Hawkman are kind of fought to a standstill, and then in the scuffle, wouldn't you know it, Lobo accidentally steps on Mr. Mind and seemingly kills him. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not up to date on my Mr. Mind lore, so I was not aware that this was a character that could regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
But for like a minute there, they did actually have me that, oh my god, they just I know it's a bug, but they just killed this guy.
Right. Yeah, it is, we'll talk. I mean, we can kind of mesh everything together with these, how short these are. But yeah, they really drive home the point that Lobo has smashed Mr. Mind by giving you immediate, not one, but two instant replays of his boot just decimating Mr. Mind. They really, really got a lot of enjoyment out of that shot, it looked like.
Ooh, guys, lay off and I'll split the reward with you. I kind of mean it this time. Dude, I got some mind on me.
Oh, I may throw up.
Just enough proof to collect the reward. Ha! Here, Sif. I said I'd split it with you. Well, it's been a party. See you, Suits. Yeah, man. Captain Cluck Cluck.
Ah! Oh, man. I never thought you guys would come in second to that creep.
So Lobo, grabs a tissue and pulls a little bit of Mr. Mind's DNA off of his his shoe and decides that's a sufficient enough evidence for Boss Kak, the guy who wants Mr. Mind captured. So that'll be evidence that he that Mr. Mind is dead, and Lobo will get his reward. And so he speeds off to collect that reward. But of course, Boss Kak not too sure that Mr. Mind is actually dead. And right at that moment, we cut back to Mr. Mind, who has regenerated here, and he's so proud of himself having regenerated and seemingly outsmarted all of the heroes and Lobo as well, only to discover that he's regenerated inside of another containment device, this time inside the Watchtower with Superman, Hawkman, and Space Cabbie there to celebrate with another picture as we fade to black here on our first of two episodes.
Yeah, so as far as the plot is concerned, it's hard, as we have sort of alluded to, based on the nature in the episode. It's very, very quick. I think I like the idea of Paul Dini writing an episode that includes sort of some of these ancillary goofy DC characters like Space Cabbie. You know, that's not one that you would probably, that the layman on the street would know. So Mr. Mind sort of lives on even through his, even though his appearances in both Shazam movies were sort of like the legendary nerd out moment for those two movies. He doesn't have a lot of mainstream credibility, we'll say. So you have some goofy DC characters, and then you mix in Lobo, who obviously had such mainstream recognition in the 90s, but has since kind of dropped off, certainly isn't as well known. Mixed in with Superman and Hawkman. So yeah, you have some fun there, but I don't think there was enough time other than like the interaction between Mr. Mind and the Space Cabbie, where mm-hmm. he manages to outsmart him by blinding him with the camera. You don't have as much like goofy, zany, typical Paul Dini off the wall type humor to showcase. With that said, though, it's a fun 11 minutes. It is certainly action packed. There's a lot of fighting that occurs between Hawkman, Superman, and Lobo. There is some great visuals that we can talk about in just a moment. But yeah, I think it is certainly very quick and thus hard to sort of adjust to appreciate. But I think if I was watching this and I was, you know, 10 years old or 8 years old, I think I would have gotten a big kick out of it. And as an adult, I can appreciate the fact that they used this cartoon to introduce some of these lesser known, mm-hmm. you know, golden and silver age characters that people probably wouldn't be as familiar with. Did Space Cabbie make an appearance in Brave and the Bold? Do we know?
That's a great question. I don't know if he that seems like one that would be right up
their
alley to fit in somewhere.
For sure. I would be curious to know if he did indeed make an appearance there. Because if not, again, this is sort of like Detective Chimp or like mm-hmm. one of those just off the wall, like can't believe this is what's the Earth? Is it Earth X? What's the Earth with the like the rabbit and the
Earth C?
Yeah. So like one of those zany things that you just bring in. That's like, man, I can't believe this was a thing at one point, and DC is acknowledging that it existed in this way is kind of funny. So yeah, I liked it. I ended up going with a 6 out of 10 for plot. I think that the having Lobo, Superman, and Space Cabbie all in an episode kind of sets the tone for what you can kind of expect, I guess, for this, where you have some of those weirder off the wall characters that you might have expected to see in the Brave and the Bold. And then you get to interact with them in a dash to the finish here with an 11 minute cartoon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, and as the operable term or operable word is action, Justice League action. A lot of kind of the fun that you could have had, and also the fact that it's 12 minutes as opposed to 22, so you have even less time to work in any kind of quirky character beats. I think it's fun. If I didn't say I gave plot 5 out of 10, because I think it's a solid outing. It's a fun introduction to some of these characters if you're new to them. But not a lot to sink your teeth into from a story perspective.
There you go. All right, then let's move on to our next category, which is going to be animation and visuals. And while did we find it? I know it was difficult for you to locate. Did you find an animation studio responsible for this episode? Yes.
So from what I can tell, animation was done for this series by Soonmin Image Pictures, also known as, it's shortened to SMIP in the credits. But they worked on things like Ben 10 and a couple other there's an Avengers cartoon. They worked on some other things like that. A lot of Cartoon Network shows and some Disney stuff as well. I think we can hop into our visual section here. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a very different style. Shane Glines is the lead character designer. He does a lot of work for the DC animation these days. Does a lot of the character designs for Harley Quinn and for, I think, some of the more modern DC animation movies as well. This show's definitely got a unique look to it. It's hard for me to explain. Like, it's very simplified. Like, in some ways it feels even more stripped down and simplified than like the new Batman Adventures Superman style.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very like vibrant and bright and colorful world at the same time. And there's definitely a flair to, and there's a life to the action and to the characters as well.
Yeah, I do. I mean, some of the characters, Superman certainly rings true to a DCAU cartoon. They're a little bit more, they're less squared off. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little bit more angular than you would typically expect, but not as the jaws are definitely not square. So the jaws come to a point. Everybody's a little bit more angular, I guess. So maybe if you had a hybrid baby between like the Batman and DCAU, if they mated, you might come up with something that looks somewhat similar to this, I guess. I don't know. But as you mentioned, you know, Shane Glines, of course, his work on Harley Quinn and a lot of other projects that he's been involved with. But I do like the overall aesthetic of the way that the show looks. It doesn't look like a copy and paste from any other show necessarily, but it also doesn't feel alien completely. Mm-hmm. A lot of the characters don't necessarily, I guess you have your human character that kind of looks like, you have Space Cabby, who kind of looks like the grown up, who's the male in Kim Possible, like he kind of looks like
Ron.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a grown-up version of him, I would imagine. But now he's like a cab driver, so he's got kind of like he's kind of got like those Disney eyes, but then Superman has just like the lenses, like the irises of his eyes, mm-hmm. So you don't have the whites of his eyes, which is obviously very, very much on brand for DCAU stuff. We'll talk about some of the other character designs in once we get to the other episode, but Lobo looks like Lobo, except he's got like he kind of looks
dreads.
Yeah, he's got dreadlocks. I was gonna say he just is missing a hat, and he would look like Lemmy from Motorhead. He's got like thick handlebar mustache, and his space hog looks really intimidating. He's got the big skull on the front, but they gave him like flames on it, and
mm-hmm.
the characters look pretty interesting. I it's definitely eye-catching, that's for sure. So I don't have any complaints about the actual character designs for the show. I think they all kind of fit together, and it kind of feels familiar while also separating itself and clearly saying like this is different than any other cartoon.
Yeah, the Hawkman design I feel like stood out to me a lot across these two episodes. He's got I'm so used to, because it's they give him kind of like the really old school like golden age Hawkman look with without the big wings on the helmet. So he just has like the real sleek sleek mask with the little kind of bird beak in the front, and then these kind of like amber colored wings, and then like the green and gold armor. So yeah, they definitely didn't lean too heavily on they definitely, I think, kind of forged their own path as far as the actual costume designs and things like that, and the color palette they used for that. So that certainly stood out to me. And then, yeah, as we said in this first episode, it's a lot of action between Superman and Lobo, and then Hawkman and Lobo, and then all the big explosions. You said the kind of dramatic replays of Mr. Mime getting squished is a lot of fun as well. So I ended up giving visuals a 7 out of 10 for this episode. I think it's fun. I do think, yeah, there's something where like Superman's got is kind of very squared off, but a lot of the other characters, yeah, it's very, very kind of like very angular, very kind of sharp shapes. Like Space Cabbie has this very pointed, sort of more triangular face and everything there. So I think they gave everybody kind of a unique look. It's not kind of the one size fits all male or as we'll get to in the next episode, female bodies in this episode. They kind of, everybody has a really kind of unique look to themselves, which I kind of appreciate here. So yeah, I think it's a fun, solid episode. Like I said, it's a lot of action. I like the Hawkman Lobo fight might have been my favorite part of it, and not a lot of 3D animation too. Like the vehicles and everything seem to be 2D animations, so I appreciate that as too, because as we've talked about, that could be kind of jarring at times in these shows. So it's a pretty fun romp from a visual perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I actually gave it the same exact score. I gave it a 7 out of 10. And I did notice, I think the space cab is, I think that was a CGI vehicle with the cell shading over top of it, but it's interesting to see how well things have progressed. This obviously in 2017, coming out then. I'm trying to think about the things that we've maybe, what have we reviewed that would have been before this that had CGI? I guess Brave and the Bold, right? Which was like more 2011 to 2013-ish. So this is even a couple.
Yeah, we've broken into some JLU and Justice League that have the CGI javelins and stuff.
Yeah. So the progression, obviously, from some of the things that I've pointed out or complained about in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, with the CGI being such an eyesore and standing out so clearly, the techniques to be able to sort of blend that in, even if the movement still isn't, or is a little bit uncanny valley in some form or fashion, where you can it's something just doesn't match up right. Your brain tells you that this does not go here, but it at least visually, if you at a quick glance, you can't necessarily stick. It doesn't stick out the same way that it did, you know, a decade earlier, or you know, it's less than a decade before this. So, I would agree with you. I think a lot of the fun is certainly in the character designs, in just seeing some of these characters that, you know, they're in the middle of outer space fighting for a lot of it. So, you know, it's more punching and kicking. There were a couple interesting moments that I liked. I like when Superman finally recovers. He comes down to save Hawkman in this abandoned anthracite mine, and he lands, and just as he blocks like this blast from a gun that Lobo is going to shoot Hawkman with, and they cut to Lobo and he's kind of surprised, and he's taunting Superman about, you know, he thought he was done for, and Superman mentions that the red sun ray that Lobo shot him with took away his powers, but the yellow sun recharges him. And just in that moment, the yellow sun raises behind him, and you kind of get this glow around Superman. It was just a cool visual. Accompanied with the music swell. It was a good look. So I liked that. And then immediately after that, Hawkman and Superman team up to take down Lobo, and you get these freeze frame comic book panel type shots of fists being shoved into Lobo's face and stomach and back, as as they, they do this, the same trick that Brave and the Bull would do, where they really highlight the impact of the violence while also keeping this probably a TVY7 and not making it as violent as as showing a fist connect in slow motion. So effective, obviously pays homage to the source material of the superhero genre being from comic books, and it looks cool too. So I really did enjoy that also. So a good first episode to introduce us to the way that this show looks, and then some of the things we'll pick up on in episode two, and how they choose to handle certain action sequences and such. But yeah, good solid scores from both of us.
Absolutely.
All right, Liam, let's move on to our next category, which is going to be our music. And I am shocked that we don't have a dynamic music partner here involved with this music. But that's not to say that the music is any less grand or on par for what we're used to with DC animation. I thought, especially for this episode, being set in space, it seemed that they really leaned into the classic space odyssey of horns, swirling flutes. You get when the space cab is moving through space, you kind of get that up and down flute sound that you would get from a Star Wars soundtrack or, a 2001 A Space Odyssey or something. So I felt they leaned heavily into that. And at least for this episode, you actually got to hear more of the soundtrack. It played more of a pivotal role. I think they were probably, again, leaning into the fact that this took place in space for the most part of it. Hey, it's in the name too, space, all that space cab. But yeah, I really liked the music. I didn't think that there was one piece other than, like I said, maybe the swirling flute and some of the horns that were clearly brought in to homage those great sci-fi soundtracks of old. But I ended up giving music a pretty strong 6 out of 10 regardless. What about you?
Yeah, I went just one point higher. I went 7 out of 10. I think it's, I think for all the reasons you just mentioned, it's got that very grandiose sort of sci-fi, Star Trek, Star Wars feel to the music, as you mentioned. It's a lot of fun. And I guess we could talk about it over the two episodes. The main theme, I will say, and this is something I think we mentioned with, might have been Young Justice's theme, but there's a real nightly news quality to this little Justice League action music that plays at the start of each episode over there. Seemingly very, if we didn't mention this in visuals, very kind of Super Friends inspired opening where we have all the villains and then all the heroes clashing.
Yeah, it certainly pays homage, I think, to the challenge of the Super Friends. I think that's undoubtedly a wink and a nod in there someplace. But yeah, and because this is an 11-minute cartoon, whereas with your 22-minute cartoon, you typically devoted 30 to 60 seconds to an entire credit scene. This, again, it's rapid movement. You get villains, then heroes, then villains, then heroes again, and then we're done. And yeah, so that may even more so feel like it's a nightly news type intro there. You expect your weatherman and sportscaster to show up.
Absolutely. But yeah, strong 7 out of 10 from me and 6 from you. So yeah, like I said, just I like the space odyssey quality to it.
All right, Liam, let's move on to our final category for this episode, and that is going to be our voice actors. Not a large cast, but we certainly have some memorable folks involved with this week's voice actors. A couple of familiar names, one probably more familiar than almost any of the other ones, but let's talk about our small but mighty voice cast for this week.
Absolutely. So we have, speaking of small, we have Oliver Vakir playing Mr. Mind, a veteran voice actor. He gets to bounce off our space cabbie quite a bit. He gets to, I think, show off a little bit of his comedic side as the episode goes on. They put some kind of because the character Mr. Mind is literally a worm, he talks through this weird little voice box. So there's this kind of like old-timey radio effect that they put on his voice, which I appreciate. I thought that was kind of a neat quality to it. And kind of because it just makes that character feel even more like it fell out of a comic from the 1940s.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the little effect, he's talking out of this voice box attached to his chest. And yeah, it does. It does feel like it's something that you would have seen in a cartoon from that era. So, you know, the voice box has to translate this alien voice into or speak for this alien conqueror on his behalf. So gotta love that.
Absolutely. And then as playing the voice of Lobo in this one, another familiar one to people who have listened to our show for a little bit, that's John DiMaggio playing Lobo here. He's got he's got kind of like a southern, I guess, and maybe with the dreadlocks and everything and the Fu Manchu, they're kind of going for like that raspy like Dog the Bounty Hunter quality to him.
What hit me? A chicken nugget? I'm actually fighting a king-sized walking chicken nugget.
You've interfered with Justice League business. Leave this area now.
Listen, Foghorn, you're gonna have to... Okay, all right. Big Bird's got some game. But the main man, please, dirty.
You know what? I could not
a southern twang to it.
I could not unhear it as a Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation.
It is very similar. DiMaggio does it. Speaking of Ben 10, as we mentioned, the animation studio worked on that show. At some point on that show, they introduce one of the aliens that Ben transitions into is a pro wrestling tiger.
Okay,
and it's that voice. So I do think there's a little bit of a pro wrestling, 80s pro wrestling twang or slant to this voice for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't stop hearing it. It did drop out at times, but there were just certain things that sounded like somebody who wasn't necessarily trying to do a straight up impersonation of the Macho Man, but there was just certain things that he said that was like, that sounds like straight up 80s cream of the crop Macho Man Randy Savage there, like, and then the visuals, you know, obviously the long flowing hair, the mustache, certainly lend to that potentially being an inspiration for Mr. DiMaggio. But I loved his performance, but also couldn't help but keep hearing and expecting him to say "Ooh yeah," you know.
Absolutely, yeah, it's got a great... Yeah, it's not quite a southern twang to it, but he's just got this really deep rasp to his voice. That's a lot of fun there, and completely different. As we mentioned, it's hard to hear anybody play Lobo besides Brad Garrett from after Superman and Justice League. But just I think that's always the best way to do it. We've talked about that before with, you know, somebody like Kevin Michael Richardson voicing the Joker or something, where you just want to take it in a completely different direction. And I think Mr. DiMaggio pulls that off here. And then elsewhere in our cast here, we have Jason J. Lee as Superman and also Troy Baker, speaking of another former Joker voice, as Hawkman. They don't get much to do here. They've got some exposition to give out about who Lobo is, who Mr. Mine is, and some kind of generic dialogue about, heroic dialogue, but they do a pretty solid job. But obviously, the one with the most, the lion's share of the work here, and probably the most famous name in this cast list is, of course, Patton Oswalt playing Space Cabby here, a very famous comedian who's also done a lot of voice acting work in his time. He's a lot of fun, kind of nerding out when he meets Superman for the first time, and then all the stuff, as mentioned, interacting with Oliver Vickers as Mr. Mind. He's kind of a hoot in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, from the first line, I was like, oh, that's Patton Oswalt. Instantly recognizable.
Very.
Instantly recognizable voice. So, yeah, it was... I don't think it was distracting, and I think those that are familiar with Mr. Oswalt know that he has appreciation for the nerddom. He's a bit of a comic. But he's one of us. You could say that. So, you know, he's played that role in Parks and Rec and myriad of other different roles that he's played. So here he gets to play an actual hero. He's an off the wall sort of in awe of not only Superman and the Justice League. I love that he, in his cab, he has these different photos with people that he's taking pictures with. Big Barda, I think, was one of them.
Kilowog, I saw in there.
Yeah, Kilowog was definitely made an appearance. There were a couple of other cameos there, and then of course you also get the shot at the end with him and Hawkman as the closing shot. I loved that. And then, of course, him taking the picture with Mr. Mind is ultimately Mr. Mind's undoing. So got to love that. But I think Firestorm also was one of the shots there with Black Canary. But anyway, I think Mr. Oswald does a good job. Again, it's instantly recognizable. He kind of has the main dialogue for the episode. He, you know, a lot of the other is just fighting and one-liners and quips between the rest of the cast. But yeah, he's a solid job. He's a good actor. He does the voice well, believable as the space cabbie. I'd be okay with casting him in a live action space cabbie role if there was a call for it, you know.
Absolutely. He'd be perfect for that role. And you know, we're in a brave new era of DC movies, or we're about to be, allegedly. So there's room. We can find a space for it.
Loves those weird characters. So if anybody would put Space Cabbie into a live action film, I believe the hands in which the DC films universe are in would be the one responsible for that. So yeah, we can make that happen. But yeah, overall, I will just add one additional thing here as far as our voice of Superman. Mm-hmm. My note that I wrote down was he sounds like if you told AI to clone George Newbern's voice. Like, he sounds like, there are times where he sounds nothing like George Newbern, but there's a lot of the same inflections. It's like you sped George Newbern's voice up to like 2.5 speed and then plugged it into an AI to have it be cloned. Like, it's very, very similar. There were times where I was like, gosh, that sounds so much like George Newbern. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it worked for this episode, because it was like, all right, we have all these new voice actors in this show, nobody that I'm really familiar with. So that kind of felt like, all right, Superman is still Superman, even though it wasn't George Newbern. You know, it's kind of like when you get Troy Baker to come in and play the Joker. It's like, kind of sounds like the Joker, kind of sounds like Mark Hamill. That's definitely not Mark. Is it Mark Hamill? Like, I kept doing that. Like, is it George Newbern? No, it's not George Newbern. It's not George Newbern. But yeah, I will just say that. So overall, I ended up really enjoying this voice acting cast. Overall, I think everybody is solid, and ended up giving it a 7 out of 10. What about you?
I ended up with the exact same score of 7 out of 10. I think it's a solid effort. Like we said, I think maybe you don't quite take full advantage of the comedic potential of getting all of these characters together, because so much of it is action focused, but overall what we get is still a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right, Liam, well, it's time to total up our scores for this first episode of Justice League Action. Totaling everything up, I end up with a 26 out of 40. What about you?
Yeah, and even though I don't think we agreed on every category, it somehow evened out that I am also at a 26 out of 40 for this first episode.
There you go. Hard to recommend these as rewatchability. You know, would I rewatch this? I will say that, just so that I made sure, I took advantage of the fact that these were 11 minutes. And just to make sure that I really, really, really got what I could get out of this being the first time, I did watch this episode twice. Mm-hmm. in preparation. So I guess by default that says rewatchability. Yeah. but these feel like bite-sized enough where if you wanted background noise to put on, it's kind of like Teen Titans Go. Like, I appreciate Teen Titans mm-hmm. Go. You can put Teen Titans Go on while you're scrolling on your phone, if you want background noise, check back in, hear a funny line, check back out, see a funny gag, check back out. Like, you know, so it feels like these could be in the same vein. you know, because it's a lot of action, of fighting, a lot of punching, and not a lot of dialogue. So yeah, I guess it's a one thumb up for a rewatch if we're gonna do that for these.
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of tough because it is, these all feel kind of self-contained to an extent. There's not a lot of hand holding. It's just kind of, here's some characters and they're gonna go on a quick little adventure. So, but yeah, it's fun, and I think this is a great, like you said, if you're like you said, I think at the start, like if this came on when I was like 10 years old, I would have devoured it just because of how many like weird and cool characters got used across this show, and kind of lesser heroes got used across this show. So that it's kind of a fun way of doing like a, you know, it's a good introduction, I think, to the larger DC universe and some of those wacky more forgotten characters like a space cabbie. So yeah, there's definitely something to this if you're watching or looking to rewatch it, if you perhaps watched it when it originally aired.
Absolutely. All right, Liam, let's move on to our second episode of the day, which means, of course, we will get our second official IMDb synopsis, also brought to you by the Pod Tower. Make sure if you didn't do so after our first announcement, head over right now to youtube.com/thePodTower and subscribe to get our entire catalog. Here are other 265 plus episode reviews right there.
Absolutely. So this is the synopsis for the episode Galaxy Jest, which is written by Dwayne Capizzi, directed by Jake Castorena, music once again by Kevin Reipel, and animation once again by SMIP Co. And that synopsis reads as such. Wonder Woman and Superman have to rescue Joker from Mongol while Batman and Flash try to stop the Clown Prince of Crime's massive laughing gas bomb hidden somewhere in Gotham.
Not bad.
Yeah, that covers, as we said, this is this one there's a little bit more to sink your teeth into from a story perspective. We open with a Batman Joker Batmobile car chase already in progress, and the Joker's crashes his car. Batman seemingly has him dead to rights. We find out there's a laughing gas bomb, as mentioned in the synopsis, about to go off. But before Batman can cuff the Joker, a strange yellow beam shoots down from outer space, and the Joker is abducted.
Is ticking. Parking is such a pain in this city. You're too late, Batman. The Gutbuster blows at midnight. Good thing I didn't wear a skirt.
So Batman calls in the rest of the Justice League to try to track down the Joker while he sends Superman and Wonder Woman into space to track down the Joker while he and the Flash continue to try to search Gotham for this giant laughing gas bomb. And we find out very quickly that the Joker has been abducted, which I think it's funny because it's like, if you thought one of these two episodes was written by Paul Dini, you would think it was this one, because
right,
the plot is so funny of an idea. And to credit to Dwayne Capizzi, who did write this episode, but that Joker is kidnapped. We find out he was abducted by Mongol and taken to sort of this mobile ship with him and his followers, because they want to court Jester, pretty much. They've heard tale of this famous Joker from Earth, and they want to hear some jokes.
Many thanks for facilitating my escape, kind alien brute, sir.
I am Mongol of Warworld.
A vibrant cultural epicenter worth visiting, I'm sure. But if you wouldn't mind dropping me off at the abandoned amusement park 3 miles south of Arkham Asylum.
I am Emperor Mongol.
Joker!
So what can I do for you, your heinousness?
You are Joker of planet Earth.
I am Joker of Earth. This is fun.
Make warriors laugh or suffer.
When you say suffer, you mean of embarrassment, right?
And that leads us into a, and we'll talk some about this probably in visuals and voice acting too, but like a montage of different joke styles that the Joker tries out, including some, you know, traditional knock-knock jokes, and then sort of he transitions into like a Seinfeld observational humor about superhero names and stuff. Yeah,
it's great. He does straight up, he does puns, knock-knock jokes, he does the observational humor, then he talks about he plays off of Batman and his in the Seinfeld humor about his obsession with different bat things, then using superheroes' choices of naming themselves giving each other these grand names. Very, 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 very funny that he's sitting there doing this, and no one is laughing, not a single laugh.
Good evening, ladies and germs. Why don't alien invaders eat clowns?
Because they taste funny.
But on with our show. What did the magician say to the fisherman?
Pick a card. Any card.
Ackman doesn't care for that one either. An alien walks into a doctor's office with a duck on his head. Doctor says, can I help you? Duck says, yeah, get this alien off my butt. Hey, folks, what's the deal with Batman's gadgets, huh? I mean, batarangs, bat cards, bat signals. Dude, we get it. You love bats. And what's the deal with superhero names? I mean, Superman. Wonder Woman. You don't see me calling myself Awesome Joker. What would you find in Superman's lavatory?
Why can't
the
you
Super Bowl? Why did the belt go to Joker?
That's right. So as Joker is seemingly about to be relieved of his duties, he decides to ask for a handshake and gives Mongol the old electric joy buzzer trick, and which does actually get a laugh from the crowd of Mongol's minions, much to Mongol's grin. So as he goes to take Joker and throw him out an airlock, we see the first of our space traveling heroes has arrived. As Superman arrives, saves the Joker from being thrown out the airlock, and then he and Mongol proceed to have a big old punch up for several minutes, and eventually Wonder Woman arrives as well in a spacecraft and takes on dozens and dozens of Mongol's minions. And the Joker does try to escape on the spacecraft, but is caught by Wonder Woman trying to escape. And as we cut back down to Earth, we see that that Batman and Flash are still looking for it. And then Batman, kind of at the 11th hour with only 5 minutes to midnight, he realizes that the Joker gave him a little bit of a clue, as he mentioned that the bomb would go off when the clock strikes midnight. And so he realizes that must mean that the bomb is about to go off in the big clock tower in Gotham City. Is there a name for that? every version of Batman has a giant clock tower in Gotham City, but it's not like named after anybody, I don't think.
The Justice League Action Wiki simply calls it the Gotham Clock Tower.
Oh, well, there you go.
Very original name.
Well, regardless, you know what? If it ain't broke, right?
That's right.
But yes, we go there, and we have what I think is a really fun sequence. We'll certainly talk more about in visuals to kind of load us out. Batman arrives, but the bomb's about to go off, so he basically pulls the bomb out of the device to try to stifle the explosion. But he's sort of not. The explosion does go off and kind of knocks him out of the clock tower. So the gas begins to spread, at which point the Flash arrives and kind of contains the blast using his powers to create kind of a wind tunnel to keep it all around the watchtower, if you will. And and then Superman arrives back from Earth, arriving back with Wonder Woman, and Superman does the classic Superman thing. He flies around in a big tornado and then uses his super breath to inhale all of the gas into space, which is funny because as he's carrying it in his mouth, he himself begins to chuckle from the laughing gas, which I think is a good bit.
Yep.
And we don't see quite what happens, but as he comes back to Earth, having gotten rid of all of it, somehow spilling it out into space, Batman asks what happened, and he mentioned that he gave the gas to somebody that needed a laugh, and then we end our episode cutting back to Mongol's damaged spaceship as all of his minions, as well as Mongol himself, are uncontrollably laughing as they're now doused in the laughing gas. And that's our wrap up for this one.
I know we've had our differences, but I want to let you know I'm available for the Justice League holiday party.
What did you do with the gas?
I gave it to someone who needed a good laugh.
Hey, Superman! Oh, I really hate Superman! I really, really...
Yeah, I enjoyed this one, as you mentioned. The idea, if you're going to do these 11-minute cartoons, I mean, you gotta sacrifice one thing or the other, right? You gotta have a lot all action and very little to no plot, or you gotta have all plot and little to no action. And I actually felt like this episode maximized as much as they could out of both. It's a classic tale. A Joker has a bomb, Batman has to stop him. Batman's tied up with the rest of the Justice League trying to find, you know, where this bomb is. But in the meanwhile, you have this side quest of the Joker getting sent off to hang out with Mongol. And then Superman has to rescue Mongol. The Joker is rooting for Superman to beat Mongol. And then it's a race against time to stop this bomb. And all of that is in 11 minutes or 12 minutes, whatever it mm-hmm. is. This I felt like really, really maximized what they could fit into this, having this central plot go throughout, and then you have this sort of side quest that also fits in there and doesn't feel like something tacked on just to take up time either, because you don't have the luxury of excess time, mm-hmm. right? Because it's 11 minutes. Yeah, it's really fun. I really, really enjoyed it. I love the idea, the goofy idea of the Joker being abducted to be a stand-up comedian. And in the same vein as the Killing Joke, he's a terrible comedian.
Yes, that is a really good bit.
Yeah, nobody's laughing at any of his jokes. Of course, he chose things that these brutes are likely not familiar with as his comedy, but as his subject matter. But, you know, he's still not funny. Nobody finds it funny until he does something with slapstick, and then that nearly gets him killed. So yeah, I really enjoyed this. I love the goofy idea of it. The rest of the episode around that little side quest is sort of standard fare, but even in the midst of that, you get the punchline at the end with Superman sharing the gas with Mongol. So I enjoyed it. I ended up giving it a solid 7 out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, I gave it 1 point higher, than 8 out of 10. Like you said, I think they really maximize their minutes. You still get plenty of action and fun superhero stuff. We'll talk about it. I really like the way they structured that ending there, where Batman pulls the bomb out and then Flash kind of contains the gas, and then Superman takes, you know, sucks it all up and then takes it into outer space. Like seeing the Justice League teamwork there, where everybody kind of uses their different skill set to problem solve, and then you get, like you said, plenty of punching for you in the middle of the episode, and then you have this really quirky and funny idea of the Joker being forced to perform stand up for a bunch of aliens is a lot of fun too. So yeah, just a hoot and a very breezy 11 or 12 minutes here.
All right, Lane, let's move on to our next category, which will be animation and visuals. And we talked a little bit about, obviously, in our first review, the way that these characters look. We get a couple of additional characters other than Superman, of course, returning. But we get our first appearance, or our first appearance, of the Dark Knight himself, Batman, who, looking very much like his new 52 costume with a gigantic bat. No, none of these superheroes have underpants on the outside of their costumes either, by the way. Superman, no red underpants. Batman, no black underpants.
Sure. I was going to say, the Batman design, it's not, he's not big and buff. He's not the tank that the Ben Affleck Batman is, but it seems like maybe it's kind of based on that suit.
Yes.
Got like the real short ears, and he's got like a black utility belt, and the suit's gray, but it's like a very, very dark gray. So it seems like, I mean, this was in production kind of around the same time as that, you know, as Batman versus Superman and Justice League were coming out. So that's probably not a complete coincidence, and kind of similar with Wonder Woman. She has, you know, kind of the Roman skirt and the sword and the shield and her action beats as well. So
big thigh high boots also.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so this does feel very influenced by the live action costumes of the time.
Yeah, no doubt. We also get the Joker obviously appearing here, and Mongol. Joker looks pretty standard to Joker fare. He does have these sort of creepy yellow eyes that they gave him, mm-hmm. which obviously we had a Joker with yellow eyes first appear in Batman the Animated Series. So we're familiar as far as DC animation is concerned with a yellow eyed Joker. But this one, something about the color palette that they used, it almost feels like he's jaundiced at times, especially because at least initially, you don't really see the red line around his lips. So I think in the first couple sequences, it's either so thin that I didn't notice it, or it's not there, and then it's added later on in some of the close-ups. You kind of see it towards the end of the episode. So, he looks a little bit like the color palette is a little bit darker. It's not as bright and goofy as you're used to with like a I think the Joker with the. Those yellow eyes. It's not quite the same neon, or I don't think it's not neon, but like I feel like the Justice League colors were sort of a muted neon in that way. And then obviously the animated series was more straight up brighter colors. These it just feels like it's a little bit dark, has like a dark wash over it or something like that. So you know, we'll talk about in our voice acting here shortly. It certainly feels like the Joker in a lot of ways. Mongol is more of a Hulk like character in this episode. He certainly towers over the majority of the characters here, but and looks more I guess closer to his look in the comics. His face is a little bit off. I feel like they did something to his face where he wasn't as expressive. Maybe he's missing his nose or something like that. Like he doesn't mm-hmm. have as defined a facial features as we're used to, but yeah, overall everybody looks okay. There's some interesting, you get a Batmobile here. We get to see the Batmobile. We get a Joker truck complete with Joker faces and ha-has written on the side of it that I thought was great. The sequence where the Joker's giving his stand up, I love that. It's sort of, again, you are limited on the time that you have here, so they kind of overlay, and you have these transitions of him telling the different jokes. So mm-hmm. things are passing by on the screen as he's telling them, and then overlaid on top of each other. And then it sort of, the crescendo is all of these jokes, all of the voices start running together, and you get these different neon faces of the Joker. Yeah, that was really neat. I really liked that. I thought that was a neat way. And that, again, that's also something that feels like an homage you would see in a comic book panel. Like mm-hmm. it's something that it gets the point across of what they're trying to communicate to you. It's all of these different things overlapping to the point where Mongol just screams out in anger to stop. So yeah, I loved that. There's also the fights between Mongol and Superman are great. I love as the Joker is about to be expelled from the ship because Mongol is furious at him for using the Joker buzzer. He's about to evacuate him from the ship by throwing him out into space. And just as he opens up the door and the wind is rushing out and the air is rushing out, Superman is completely in shadow, flies in, and the door shuts behind him. And as Mongol right before that, though, Mongol throws the Joker towards the door, and Superman catches the Joker by his head. It was so great. I really enjoyed that. And then the fight between Superman and Mongol, there's a sequence that happens where Superman flies into Mongol. He flies him up. The camera cuts and Superman is flying towards you. So he flies up. The camera follows him up and then he pushes him back down. The camera cuts and then he's pushing him back towards your point of view at that point. But I thought that those were all done really well. And then you mentioned the sequence at the end with the disposal of the Joker gas, I thought was really, really well done. So overall, I thought things were really well animated. I really enjoyed the way things were done. And I ended up giving animation and visuals a very strong 9 out of 10.
Nice. Yeah. I went to just one point lower. I went 8 out of 10. I think it's really fantastic. And they, you know, as funny as like that comedy sequence that we mentioned with the Joker, there's some kind of fun physical comedy too. Like when the airlock opens and Superman's standing there and he kind of floats in and then Mongol lets the Joker go. And he, you know, the Joker starts flying out towards outer space and Superman just kind of very nonchalantly puts his hand up and catches Joker by the face.
Yeah.
And then drops him. I think there's some really funny bits there. And then, you get a big knockdown. I really like this Mongol design too. He kind of has like, he has like the Punisher skull. It's like a purple suit, but he has like the big skull on his chest. And, I think that's a fun design. The fight between him and Superman is pretty fun. They're just knocking each other through walls and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. Wonder Woman mixing it up with the minions as well. And then, as mentioned, that final sequence where they get rid of the gas, the clock tower, the shot of Superman when he's flying around the clock tower and creating the tornado. The way he's posed is very reminiscent of, I think, of the way that Chris Reeve, when he's flying around the world.
Oh, yeah.
To reverse time in the first Superman film, like the way he's posed seemed pretty reminiscent of that. So a fun little homage there as well. So, yeah, overall, just a lot of fun. And like I said, you talk about maximizing your minutes, both from a narrative and like I said, with the little bit extra added beats and a little B story with Batman and Flash, also still working in quite a bit of action as the show's name promises. No small feat.
Yeah, I agree. That's reflected in both of our really high scores. All right, well, let's move on to music for this week, for this episode. And as much as I felt like the music stood out in the first episode, I will say that it felt like the music for this episode took a back seat. I think some of that is likely because of the voice actors that were involved with the episode. You don't have a lot of room with our time frame, with the amount of dialogue. There was actually a lot more dialogue, I feel like, in this episode than there was in the prior episode. So you don't have as much room for the music to shine. And because of that, there's, I think, intentional gaps also. For instance, the scene with the Joker doing his monologue in the room in front of all the guys, you're supposed to feel the awkwardness, the tension of nobody responding and just like hearing a pin drop. So there's no music that punctuates that scene. It felt like a lot of it was just like little spurts of timpani, kind of like punctuating either a specific line or a specific action that happens on the screen, very much in the way that like Looney Tunes would use it, where you see something happen and there's like a burst of music and then silence. And then you might hear a little bit creep in later on and then it sort of crescendos and then it stops. So that felt like for this episode, at least, that's how the music went and was a little bit, you know, juxtaposed against the other episode that we just covered. It was certainly a different take on it. It very well could have been what was asked. There's, you know, I think, again, the who you have as far as the voice actors are concerned, you don't want to outshine them. You want to kind of rely on their voice acting ability in order to cover most of what's happening on screen and accompanying the visuals that you're seeing. So, I don't think there was anything offensive or bad for the episode, but I ended up giving it a 5 out of 10 just because I didn't think that there was anything that was terribly special or noteworthy.
Yeah, I give it the exact same score for that exact same reason. Yeah, there's definitely that kind of like little quick like xylophone strings that'll come in after to kind of accentuate a punchline or something. But yeah, it doesn't really feel like, and you get a little bit kind of maybe more dramatic action music during that final sequence where with Batman and the Flash and Superman. But yeah, not a lot to write home about this for this episode for music. Not quite, as you said, maybe not given as much of a chance to spread its legs, because this is a much more dialogue driven story.
Absolutely. Let's move on to our final category and maybe the most exciting part of the episode, Liam, that being our voice cast. Might recognize a couple of the voices that we're going to talk about today, and not just because we just talked about them for the first episode, but we have quite the who's who as far as a couple of our roles here for this episode.
Oh yeah. So speaking of John DiMaggio, who we just talked about, he voices Mongol in this episode. Completely different than the Mongol from Justice League or JLU. Just kind of a brute. And he gets, again, him playing off of our Joker here is a lot of fun there. In smaller roles, you also have Rachel Kimsey as Wonder Woman. She doesn't get to do a lot, so it's kind of hard to judge her. Maybe sometime in the future we'll come back to the show and look for a Wonder Woman focused episode or two.
She played Wonder Woman in a couple other roles I saw also from what I saw, right?
Correct. Yeah. So she's gotten a lot of chances to voice the character, but didn't get much to do in this episode. And another small appearance by a Justice Leaguer. We have the Flash in this episode, voiced by none other than Charlie Schlatter, who, of course, as we just talked about earlier this month, voiced the Flash on Superman the Animated Series in his first ever DCAU appearance back in the day. And also has since voiced the Flash in a few other animated appearances, like in The Batman, and then here again in Justice League. Again, not much for him to do in this episode, but very fun to hear a familiar voice when the Flash does show up in this episode.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Of course, we talked about us being the DCAU review when we're visiting these Elseworlds. It's nice to hear and recognize some familiar voices. And I dare say Mr. Schlatter is probably the most notable crossover DCAU voice that we'll talk about today, if I had to guess. There's not anyone else in this episode that would overshadow him.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Because first, we're going to once again talk about Jason J. Lewis as Superman. And yeah, there's something to be said about just how dry he is. And again, neither one of these episodes really focuses, you know, too much on his character. So maybe he gets to show the humorous side of him, or more range later on in the series. But you know, he does a fine job in this episode. He just doesn't get doesn't have a lot of not a lot is asked of him, I guess it's fair to say, in this episode.
Yeah, he doesn't have a gigantic role. A lot of his dialogue comes in talking initially to Mongol, who doesn't have a lot of dialogue himself in this episode, and then sort of wrapping things up at the end of the episode, disclosing to Batman just what he did with the Joker gas. So yeah, not a ton asked of him. Again, AI clone version of George Newbern kind of fits my description of his performance. So rang true here for the second episode also.
All right. And then surprise, we have a couple of more DCAU alumni to finish this out here, as of course we have the great Kevin Conroy voicing Batman for this series, and as was the deal over the years, you didn't seem to get one without the other. Mark Hamill voicing the Joker, and I mean it's them doing the roles that they've made, you know, made iconic. I think, like you said, this Joker gets to be a little bit sillier even than our, you know, some of the sillier episodes of the animated series. So like he's pretty much a straight up goofball in this, which is a lot of fun. And as we've already kind of touched on, the standout sequence is him interacting with John DiMaggio as Mongol, and then having to deliver these sort of various genres of stand-up comedy as he attempts to make his alien captors laugh. It's a very, very fun performance from Mark Hamill, and a little, like I said, it's obviously him as the Joker. But what more can we say? What more will we say? We've got, you know, we have and we'll continue to talk about him as the Joker. But I will say, I think there's something a little bit unique about this one, at least from this episode, where he's just a little bit more silly, a little bit more spastic, and a little bit sillier in a fun way that really fits the tone of this episode.
Yeah, I think if you're comparing this, like, it doesn't have the off the wall sort of silliness of Teen Titans Go. So it's not that silly, mm-hmm. but it's certainly more on the somewhat goofy side. It's not a parody. It's not a mockery. It's not even tongue in cheek humor. There is still like a serious undertone to this, but there is, it sounds silly saying it when all we do is talk about cartoons, but it's just a little more cartoony. Like, yeah. It's a little bit more, there's like a dash of Looney Tunes that's like in this DNA. You know, things are a little bit, when he's getting out of the truck, like he's kind of like stuck in the window and then he pops out and there's like a pop sound effect and his body, you know, bunches up and then recoils. And he talks about how it's difficult to find parking in Gotham. So, you know, there is something in this that this is not the on the more realistic side of things if you're looking at cartoons. So I think they play into that, and some of that certainly comes out in the performance. This obviously is one of Mr. Hamill's last performances, I think, as the Joker, or like one of the final times it roles before he retired the Joker completely. Obviously he did it a few more times after this, but there's certainly, you know, his voice is a little bit more raspy as he's gotten older, so there's something to that. But I think it fits with the way that this character, because he's just a little bit more goofy, he's less the sinister killer clown that we've seen in the DCAU, or the homicidal clown that you see in the Arkham games, or
mm-hmm.
you know this is more of the, I guess this would be the comedian if you're gonna go through the three Joker route, right? Mm-hmm. He's just a little bit funnier, a little bit goofier. I would say that probably fits who this Joker version of Mark Hamill is, if we're going down the three Joker route. So yeah, it's unsurprisingly very good. I think the when he said "Go Superman," and then he pauses, and then, you know, his face scrunches up and he goes, "Ooh, yeah." It's like that classic Mark Hamill, like, love it. Yeah, really, really unsurprisingly very good at playing the Joker.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, just another side all these years into the role is always fun to see from Mr. Hamill. So yeah, for a pretty strong voice cast, obviously bolstered by Mark Hamill, I gave voice acting another very strong 8 out of 10 for this week.
Yeah, I went just one point higher. It's hard for me to have Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill in a cartoon playing those roles and not just be giddy inside and enjoy it. You know, it's yeah, it just gives me the feels. I love it. There's no one better. As longtime listeners are going to know, people that enjoy the DCAU are going to know, there won't be anybody in my mind that will ever do it any better. So yeah, having both of them in these roles, slightly different obviously than the DCAU and the other times that they've played these characters, a little bit more lighthearted, but still feeling comfortable and like putting on a worn baseball glove, you know, it fits. It's feels good. So yeah, 9 out of 10 for me, 8 out of 10 for you. Unsurprisingly, the highest score that we gave for this episode, outside of our animation visuals, both mm-hmm. also got 9s and 8s. So there you go. All right, Liam. Well, that will begin to wrap this episode up. So totaling everything that I have here, I end up with a pretty impressive 30 out of 40. What about you?
Yeah, and I ended up just one point lower at a 29 out of 40. So yeah, I think if you're keen to just check out this show for the first time, I think this is a great one to start with. Obviously, you get to ease in because you have some familiar voices, as far as your voice actors go. And it's just a delightful 12 minutes.
Yeah. I would wholeheartedly agree. I would also say that just for those listening, if you're listening to this, at least for now, at the original recording date, this is available on Amazon Prime. Do not believe Google that tells you that it's available on Max. As you know, a lot of things have been shuffled around in the Warner Brothers Discovery selling off of intellectual properties or licensing of intellectual properties to different streaming services.
Which again, I just want to reiterate, I love that.
You're a big brands guy. People
love brands. People love synergy between brands. And I like when one brand sells their intellectual property to another brand.
Yep. Yep. You're all about the corporations. Anybody that knows Liam, one thing that he loves, it's big corporations.
Yep.
And a toast to unbridled capitalism. that's our favorite quote here at the DCAU. It's pretty much what we share for.
Yeah. Right.
What we live for, stand for. But yes, so check that out. If you're interested, you have Amazon Prime, like most of America probably does. It's available for streaming there, but the entire series is. So yeah, if you haven't watched these episodes, haven't watched any of Justice League Action, this would probably be the one of the two that we reviewed. I would invite you to watch this one also, not only just because of the fun that's had, the goofy story here that we had written by Dwayne Capizzi, that, as you mentioned, has done countless different DC animated projects, maybe most famously the Batman cartoon and some of the other more direct-to-video DC animated projects. I think he was involved in the Superman Doomsday movie also. So yeah, lots of DC stuff under his belt, but this one is just a joy for multiple different reasons, and will probably feel right at home for DC AU fans. So definitely recommend this one. If we're giving rewatchability recommendations, maybe instead of a rewatchability, it's like, hey, is this worth checking out? Yeah, I'd say it's worth checking out this episode.
Agreed.
All right, Liam, well, that will begin to wrap us up for this week's episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We appreciate it. If you would like to support the podcast, as so many of you do, thank you, first of all, to all of those that regularly support the podcast. If you like us on social media, talk with us on social media. If you subscribe to the podcast and donate your hard-earned dollars every month, if you've bought a piece of merchandise, if you are listening to this episode, we thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for allowing us to do this and have an audience to interact with. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, plenty of free ways to support the podcast. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app or on the Pod Tower on YouTube, or both, actually. Both of those things will support us. So subscribe to us, leave us a review, comment on our videos on the Pod Tower on YouTube. We do check those comments and we'll interact with you there. You can tweet at us at DCAU Review. Follow us there. Follow us on Instagram at DCAU Review. Lots of ways to interact and support the podcast for free. Leave a review for the podcast on your favorite podcast app. There's also some ways to support us monetarily in the show notes, a link to our store, or if you want to buy Liam and I a coffee, there's a way to support us monetarily there. And Liam, we are going to continue here, turning the calendar page. Believe it or not, we are more than halfway finished the year 2023, and we will be moving to the month of July. And I think it's about time we return back home for some fun. What about you?
That's right. We'll be going back to where it all started next month with another month of Batman, the animated series reviews. And we are kicking things off with, it's just a month of, I don't know if they're all going to be classics. We'll be the judges of that. But we've got a lot of, really memorable episodes as we make it into kind of the last third of these Batman the Animated Series Adventures of Batman and Robin episodes. And we're kicking that train off next week with the episode Harlequinade.
Man, we also may or may not have a special guest correspondent joining us next month. It's going to be a month to remember. Lots of fun stuff coming up here, so I cannot wait to do so with you, Liam. But until then, I'm Cal.
And I'm Liam.
And we will talk to you on the next episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.